Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 12. This study is called Enjoying Our Journey with God. Israel was in a journey in the wilderness going to the promised land. They were delivered from the bondage in Egypt. We were delivered from the bondage of sin when we got saved. And then we began a journey with God that has been sometimes difficult in this world we live in. This world is the wilderness. It is the place without God. And so we are passing through, going to our homeland. And there's a lot of similarities. If you look at chapter 12, verse 1, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. Ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. So God would establish a place where the tabernacle would be moved, and that was where they were to worship and serve the Lord and not do as the idolaters did, and under every green tree and on every high place make an altar and make sacrifices to their gods. Moses was a wise instructor. He devoted the first part of his address in Deuteronomy chapter 1 through 5 to reviewing their past and helping the new generation appreciate what God had done for the nation. Then he told the people how they were to respond to the goodness of God and why they should obey the Lord in Deuteronomy 6 through 11. Moses was helping this young new generation to develop hearts of love and appreciation for the Lord, because if they truly love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, then they will be much more ready to obey God if they love him, and they would not turn after other gods. And Moses repeated the God's covenant promises to them with the warnings of what would happen to them if they disobeyed. And Moses wanted the whole nation to be spiritual people, to be people who would serve God, who could be leaders, who would mature others, and they would grow in their faith and their love so they could enter the land, conquer the enemy, and then enjoy the inheritance that God had given unto them, that he promised to Abraham, their father, over 430 years prior to that. In chapter 12 through 26, Moses built on that foundation and applied the law to Israel's new situation in the land. He reminded them, when they get in the land and they have all these blessings, don't forget God. Don't forget who gave you this. Don't forget who gives you your daily life. The Jews had been slaves in Egypt and then nomads in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they are to become conquerors and tenants in the land. You say tenants. If you look back at Leviticus 25:23, it says that the land shall never be sold forever. For the land is mine, God said. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. God said, I'm letting you live here. I'm preparing this for you, but it's never to be sold. And do you go to Israel today and you ask people their name and you'll say, do you know what tribe of Israel you're from? And they'll tell you, they know what tribe they are from. Some will say, I think I do. And some will say, oh yes, we know for sure. And their inheritance there was never to be sold. It was always to stay within their tribe. And Moses set them responsibilities to do, which none of us like all the responsibilities that go along with all the blessings that we receive from the Lord, the things that we are to do for him to fulfill, to live as God's chosen people and be faithful residents in the land. and enjoy the blessings of God, then they had responsibilities to follow through. And he reminds them that they were commanded to purge the land, first of all. They were to go into the land, and they were to purge the land of all these nations. There was verse 1, these are the statutes, judgments, which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers give thee to possess it all the days you shall live upon the earth. Now this is both an assurance and a commandment in verse 1 through 3. The assurance is that they would enter the land and they would overcome the enemies because God was going to go before them and would help them. And then it is a commandment because after having entered the land and purging the land of idolatry in verse 2 and 3, then in Numbers chapter 21, they had a battle and they were going to have more like that. They fought the Canaanites at Hormah and they were very successful because God blessed. But the people got discouraged because of the way. When they swung out by the Red Sea again, the way was hard. It was dry. There was no water. And so they became discouraged and they complained because of the way. Many people complain in Christianity because things are difficult. Things are hard. But God can provide and we should look to Him and ask for His help, not complain to Him when we haven't even prayed and asked for Him to intervene. He said in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lusts. And so we pray for God to give us things, but what do people do? God, make me rich. You know, if you don't make me rich, you don't love me. I want all these things, you know, and so we keep praying for those things. And most of those things would not be good for us. They would harm us in our walk with God. They'd be dangers to our marriage relationships and that sort of thing. And God knows what is best. That was in Numbers 21. Then in Numbers 31, God spoke to Moses to tell the people to go to war against the Midianites. And Moses chose out 1,000 men from each one of the 12 tribes. So 12,000 men went to war against the Midianites. And they slew 5 kings of the Midianite people. And the men of Israel, they killed all the men, and they took the women and the children and the flocks and all their goods and returned to Moses. And when they saw Moses, he was angry. That wasn't what God sent them to do. And Moses said, why do you bring these captives here? He said, I made a note in these notes, if you have the outline, Numbers 31, verse 14 through 54. I would encourage you sometime this week to read that passage of Scripture because it tells of the horror of war. Yes, sir. And how they were to kill the women and the children. And they were not to be guilty of, raping the women. And if they had women that were not old enough to have ever lain with a man, then they could keep them as children, but they were to do away with all the others. You say, it just doesn't seem to sound like God. Well, you have to remember in Leviticus 18, in verse 24 through 27, God spent that entire chapter warning Israel not to commit all kinds of sexual immorality. And he said in chapter 18 and verse 24 through 27, again in verse 29, that it was for this reason that he was driving out these nations from before them for all these sins that they had committed before God. Vile, immoral things. Russia and Ukraine are having all kind of atrocities now in Israel and the Hamas group. It makes society sick for Israel to have the tenacity to go after these people and kill them in these tunnels they're hiding in and in their places where they're firing missiles after them in places where they are hiding out, even if there is collateral damage and others are killed in the process. But that is how war is. There's always collateral damage in every war. I'm glad the United States invented smart weapons, smart bombs. Many less people died in Iraq and Afghanistan than did in wars like Vietnam and Korea because of the smart weapons. But there's still going to be collateral damage. People in an area where a bomb goes off are going to have shrapnel or possibly death. Now, these Canaanites, their religion was both filthy and false. They were idolaters. They worshiped gods and goddesses. They used sex symbols made of wood along with their temple prostitutes to draw worshipers in. Their worship was for gods of fertility, both to expand their nation and to grow their crops, for their trees and things of that nature to be fertile. So they often made their idol worshiping places in groves of trees. You know how nice it can be on a warm day to step into a heavy grove of trees and you have shade, and if that's been trimmed up and it's nice and clean, and to walk around in the woods, that's a pleasant thing. And they would make those kind of places their places of idolatry. Moses knew if any of these things were left in the land, that it would become a stumbling block to Israel. Israel constantly had the difficulty of wanting to be like the other nations around them. And our young people grow up wanting to be accepted of other people, wanting to be like other people. And Satan uses that to draw them into things that will harm them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, God warns the believers not to give place to the devil. And he mentions lying and all kinds of lasciviousness, which is a lack of restraint of sin, working in uncleanness and greediness. Sins can give Satan a foothold, even in a believer's life, to corrupt them fully. Satan cannot take our soul, but like Balaam, he can cause us to corrupt ourselves, and then God will deal with us even to the point of taking our lives. And that'll make us inefficient in our ministry for the Lord if we're suffering, if we're not able, if we're not healthy, and we may suffer greatly. We live in a world that's abandoned all the absolutes that we grew up with believing and understanding from the Bible. The world has promoted plurality of gods. It has, in the Indian religion, in the Hindus, they worship 27 gods. And they would, if you talk to them about Jesus, they would add Jesus to their other gods. But they don't understand, you can't worship Jesus and 27 other gods. You can only worship Jesus. And he's only the true God. And so the idol worshipers and their practices, God wanted all the pagan practices removed from the land. He wanted the people to worship the Lord, and he wanted them not to worship the things of the idolaters and that they spent their time with. Now God taught them how to make sacrifice to him. One altar at the tabernacle, not many altars. The particular sacrifices for particular times and seasons and reasons. Not any time, anything, like the idolaters could offer anything as a sacrifice to an idol. Now we're certainly not to do just like Israel was not to do, and that's imitate others. We're to follow what the Bible teaches on how we're to serve God and worship the Lord and walk with God. The most important activity the church has is to worship God. And all of our ministry should flow from that walk with the Lord and that closeness in our worship of God. The many idol worshipers, the Canaanites, had many places to worship, Israel had one place. They had many altars. Israel had one. The idolaters offered many things, including their children, unto their gods. And Israel was told what animals to offer in sacrifice, and never were they to offer their children. In early history, God walked with Enoch and Noah and Abraham, and he told Moses at Sinai that God will dwell with his people. They could walk with God and be in fellowship with God, and God would come and dwell among his people. He instructed them to build the tabernacle, and when they dedicated it, God came in a visible form and moved in to the tabernacle. His glory filled the place. He made the mercy seat his throne, where the sacrifices of the blood were sprinkled to pay for the sins of man. Now, this place unified all of Israel. It's interesting that the tabernacle moved from place to place throughout all their history. It was at Shiloh in Joshua chapter 18. During Samuel's days, it was at Mizpah. And then it was moved to Nob. I guess that's where you get Nob Hill. I don't know. And Israel sinned, and God's presence left the tabernacle. The women said of Eli's son and the sins of man that God, Ichabod is what they named the child that was born, which means the glory has departed. And the glory of God left the presence of the tabernacle. At David's day and time, the ark was at Mount Zion while the tabernacle was at Gibeon. And God revealed to David he could bring the ark to the temple, but Solomon, or tabernacle, but Solomon would build the temple. David wanted to build a house for God, but he would not allow him. And he said Solomon would build the temple. And when Solomon dedicated the temple, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is part of that praise that Solomon is giving at the dedication of the temple. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And God came to dwell in the temple. And then God left the temple again. His glory departed. Ezekiel writes about seeing the glory of God leave the temple. And then in chapter 43, Ezekiel saw the glory return to the temple. I like the aspects of Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and when he was 8 days old, his parents took him to the temple to be circumcised. And there he met those that served in the temple. And then when he was 12 years of age, they found him at the temple, confounding the doctors of the law with his questions and with his answers. And then twice Jesus went into the temple and threw out the money changers and the sinful people. He made a whip of cords at one time and drove some of them out of his place and said, "This house is to be a house of prayer for all people, but ye have made it a den of thieves." God help us to keep our religious beliefs pure and with the Word of God and not use them in financial gain. We're going to pray, and then we've got a little bit more to do. We'll go offline. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for everybody being here tonight. Thank you that we got Master Club started back tonight. We pray it'll be a blessing and a help. We ask you to oversee all that happens here. Receive our praise and our thanks. We love you. We're so thankful that you saved us. We're thankful that you have built this church on this hill and given us a place to worship and a place to serve and a place to build a place that can serve missions around the world. And so, Lord, bless because we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.